and would drop me off and my brother off for Sunday school, and that was it. But when my brother went off to college, he started to go into Sunday service before going to Sunday school. And I think I was a curious 14 years old. You know, I was kind of curious, like, what does service look like? What is it like to go in really early in the morning and to start set up? So I became so curious that I actually, one Sunday, I followed my brother all the way to actual service in the morning. And we had actual service at the Tufts University Posner Hall. And we had to haul everything from the main building over to Tufts Posner Hall to set up the soundboard and everything. And as I was there, I was just there because I was curious. But then after a few weeks, I was like, maybe I could actually do this. Maybe I could actually be involved. So then I actually started to do the video stuff. But then I started to notice, oh, maybe that's my brother's turf. Because he does all that stuff. He knows how to do it. And I don't know how to do it. So that's his turf. So then I changed over and I started to learn how to do sound. Now, sound is very difficult. It's a very difficult task to learn. So it took me a very long time. But anyway, I'm going to get to that later. But when I started to realize just all these, when I started to go to service, the EXO service, I started to realize just all these components of worship. That it wasn't just singing, but it was also learning. There's AV, there's hosting, and all these things that are involved together. And I remember the motto for that worship service was experiencing God and finding wholeness in Christ. Experiencing God and finding wholeness in Christ. And I remember a lot of the sermons given, it was really focused on that model. And I remember listening to a lot of those sermons and applying those things and, that were mentioned in the sermon, and it really helped me grow as a follower of Christ. And the reason why I mention this is because at that first experience of a worship service, I kind of saw that how a service is united. I saw how a service had different components, it was diverse. And I also saw that through the preaching of the word, we were all together growing in maturity in Christ. So our passage this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you for Joanna for reading and leading that for us. But this passage looks at how a healthy church is a church that is united, diverse, and is growing in maturity in Christ. That is our main idea we're going to look at this morning. That a healthy church is a church that is united, diverse, and is growing in maturity in Christ. But before we get to that, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning to spend some time together in your word, and also spend some time just worshiping together. Lord, I just pray that your spirit will work in our hearts and our minds, will illuminate us as we look into what does a healthy church look like? And what does it take for a church to be united, to be maintained in unitedness, and to be diverse, and to be growth and maturity? So, Lord, I pray that your spirit would be with us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, three questions that we're going to answer this morning that explore this idea of what is a healthy church is a church that is united, diverse, and is growing and maturing in Christ. So the first question is, how is unity maintained in the church? How is unity maintained in the church? And the second question is, why is there diversity in the church? Why is there diversity in the church? And three, how does the church grow in its maturity? How does the church grow in its maturity? So let's go to the first point. So the first point is, how is unity maintained in the church? If you have your Bibles, or you can look on the screen, we're going to look at verses 1 to 3 now. And it says, Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the answer is, unity is maintained when we focus on developing virtues that reflect the character of Christ. Unity is maintained when we focus on developing virtues that reflect the character of Christ. Now, going back to my experience at being a worship service, at EXO service. So, after being there for a little while, I decided to learn how to do sound. And I remember training on the soundboard was very difficult. It took a long time for me to learn. And Peter's son was my trainer. He was the one who trained me to how to do sound. And I remember during the time, I was 14 years old, annoying teenager, and I remember Peter being very, very patient with me. because there's so many knobs on that thing, and then we carry around back and forth. I just couldn't. It was just really hard to wrap around. But I had a desire to learn, right? I really wanted to learn it, and I remember Peter was just really, really patient with me. And this is one of the qualities here that Paul is mentioning, right? That how is unity maintained when we are reflecting this character of Christ, such as humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. And clearly, Peter was really gentle with me, and I remember just struggling with a lot, and he said, you know, take it easy, you know, I'll be with you, I'll help you along, you're not alone, don't worry, if there's something wrong, I'll tell you why it's wrong, and I'll lead you along. And I remember him tolerating me a lot too, because I was a very annoying kid, you know, I was always interested about other things, and I remember just being at that time when I was learning that, you know, Peter was really showing that unity aspect, that when we're working together, we have to be gentle with one another, we have to be patient with one another, as we are a service, we are, you know, working all together. So here we see that unity is maintained in the church when we show these, when we exemplify these characteristics of love and patience and so forth. And verses 4 to 6, if you look at verses 4 to 6, it shows the motivation for such unity. Here's the reason why unity takes place. It's not because we built the unity. It's not because we established it. We're the only ones who are maintaining it. We're the only ones who are preserving this unity. This unity has a theological basis, and it says in verses 4 to 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So this unity aspect is not because we established it or anything. It's because Christ has established it. It is already in place. This unity is already in place. But we have the duty to reflect the character of Christ so that this unity is maintained in the church. And if we easily become proud or, you know, egotistical because of the skills and the talents that we have, then we need to focus on being humble. We need to focus on being humble, because if we don't, that could be something that causes to the unity of the church to not be maintained, to not be preserved. If we are non-tactful, if we are not sensitive to those who are struggling in their lives, struggling in their families, or struggling in their jobs, then we need to learn how to be gentle. We need to learn how to be gentle to one another so that this maintains the unity in the church. And characteristics that hurt one another and cause tension within the church are to be abandoned. Because we continue in such characteristics that don't, in other ways, maintain unity and preserve unity, then it just breaks it apart. So, but Paul takes a turn starting in verse 7 to show that not only is an established unity in a church to be maintained, but there is also a diversity in a church that affects the unity, which brings us to our second point. So the second point is, why is there diversity in the church? Why is there diversity in the church? If you look with me, look at verses 7 to 12, and Paul continues, he says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So why is there diversity in the church? And the answer is this. Christ has gifted every individual in the church with an ability to serve in the church. Christ has gifted every individual in the church with an ability to serve in the church. And there's a two-part answer. So the second part is, Christ has given particular people as gifts to the church in order to equip members to serve. And we see this clear, that this grace is clear. The grace that is mentioned in verse 7, for instance, is the gift is not the saving grace. It's actually talking about something that God has given to us, something that Christ has given us so that we can serve the church. And verses 8 to 10 is actually very problematic. There's, from what I've studied, there's like four different ways to understand that. I take it as this. So from verses 8 to 10, I take it as referring to the ascension of Christ. That it refers to the ascension of Christ after his death and resurrection, which proved Christ's victory over evil and spiritual powers. in this world. And that before the ascension of Christ, Christ, the Son of God, became man in the person of Jesus when he descended to this earth to suffer and die for our sins. Therefore, Christ is now at the right hand of God the Father and fills us with his presence and his blessings. That's how I take it. There's three other ways to take it, but I think that's according to the context of what's going on here. That's what I think it is. And in light of diversity in the church, when I look at BCEC, we are very diverse. Diverse is fine when we look at the amount of elders, the amount of pastors, and the amount of deacons that God has given to this church. And I see this diversity when I recognize just the amount of lay leaders and volunteers that are in this church, whether they are involved with Sunday school, hospitality, AV, missions, small groups, praying ministry, outreach, inreach, and I'm pretty sure there's other ones I haven't even mentioned that I don't even know of. And over the years, there have been many trainings, retreats, workshops here at BC that have been designed to equip others to serve in various ministries. And in relation to serving in ministry and the diversity that this involves, this is what Clinton Arnold, who is the dean of Talbot School of Theology, who's the dean of the very school that Pastor Tom is going for his doctorate of ministry. This is what he has to say about serving in relation to ministry and the diversity that this involves. So Arnold says, "The mark of a healthy church is one in which every member is aware of the grace of God upon their lives and is actively ministering." He goes on to say, "The body of Christ is not a place to sit and soak, but to serve. It is important to help believers realize that they have all been called into full-time Christian ministry. Giftings may be different. Roles may vary. But being a Christian means being a minister." So whatever place you are right now, you are, if you are a follower of Christ, you are called to be a full-time minister, wherever that is. It could be here at this church, it could be at your workplace. And this shows the diversity that we have in our church, with such a large staff, with two campuses, seven congregations. We are very, very diverse. So that is our second point, that Christ has gifted every individual in the church with an ability to serve in the church, and Christ has given particular people as gifts to the church in order to equip members to serve. But Paul goes on to talk about edification and growth in the church and learn the people that he has given to the church, which leads us to our third point. So our third point is, how does a church grow in its maturity? How does the church grow in its maturity? And that brings us to verses 11 to 16. And Paul says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So how does the church grow in its maturity? And the answer is this: through the edification provided by the people given from God, and through speaking the truth of the gospel in love. Through the edification provided by the people given from God, and through the speaking the truth of the gospel in love. And again, this part of the passage mentions about unity again, right? We see that in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. But before, Paul was talking about the unity of the Spirit. And here he changes it and he says the unity of the faith, the unity of our Christian faith, and of the unity of our personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, and our understanding of what He has done in His ministry and what He has taught. It also talks about growth. We see it from verses... from verse latter part of verse 12, for building up the body of Christ, and also from verses 15 to 16, it talks about growth. It talks about our growth in our maturity with Christ, And as the measure, and Christ as the measure or standard of that maturity that we aspire to. And whenever I see this passage, I always think about, I think I've said this before, but I think about the time when I was about 16 or 17 years old. And I remember I stayed home from school because I was feeling sick. And because of that, because I was not feeling well. And then I remember a family of Jehovah's Witnesses came by my house. And they came by my house, they rang the doorbell, and it was clear, you know, they want to share about what they believe. And clearly, you know, I knew what they would believe, you know, it was false teaching. And, Yeah, so they were trying to share with me their false teaching, which is false, and I knew that I would not have known of this, of their false teaching, if God did not provide faithful ministers, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, and disciples who have all had a place in building me up spiritually, and has spoken and practiced the truth of the gospel in love, and developing in me curiosity for the true doctrines of the Christian faith. If God did not provide these people in my life, I would be those mentioned in verse 14, right, where it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the ways carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So as a healthy church, I think, at least for BCC, are we a perfect church? I don't think we are a perfect church. But I think when we look at from this passage and from what Dr. Arnold would say, that we are a healthy church. We have everyone here who's involved in ministry. We are united together. We have much diversity in terms of our skills and our talents. And we are all together in our community, growing together in Christ. So our idea that we explore, so a healthy church is a church that is united, diverse, and is growing in maturity in Christ. And my hope for all of us is that we'll be constantly on the lookout for how we can be serving one another with the gifts and talents that Christ has bestowed upon us. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us your own, that you have bestowed upon us gifted leaders to equip and to lead us and to teach us to grow in our maturity in your Son. Thank you for equipping us with different talents here to serve one another in this church. And Lord, I just pray that that we as a church, as one of the midst of seven congregations, that we'll be united in maintaining this unity. That we'll recognize that we're all diverse, that we're all different. We all carry different roles and have different gifts that that we are to utilize within the context of this church. And Lord, I just pray that we can continue to use our gifts to equip others for the maturity of who we are in Christ. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
to worship together by giving of our tithes and offerings. Great opportunity for us to share in the work of Christ here and around the world. If you're a believer, please give joyfully, because God has first given His great love for us in His Son. If you're visiting with us, please allow the offering bags to pass. I'd like to encourage folks also to touch their hearts and touch the bags as they go by if you're giving electronically, a symbol of our participation in God's work with us, with Him. Thank you.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God.
thank you. Let's have a seat. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in this summertime session of worship. We have our guest worship team here, and it's wonderful to have them come and minister to us. Many of them grew up here at BCEC in Newton, and now are worshiping in Chinatown, and so it's great to have them back to minister with us, and thank you. Thank you all also for joining us. If you're visiting with us, again, welcome. I'm Pastor Tom, and we'd like to welcome you, and also, if you signed up in the back, we'll have a gift, and I'd love to get in touch with you. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know as well. There are cards in your pews, and also after service, we have an opportunity to receive prayer, so please do come and receive prayer or I'll pray with anyone about anything. It doesn't have to be about you. It can be about whatever you're concerned about. So please do join us for prayer. Also, some announcements. Children's registry, registration, it's in your program and things like that. So please do note that because we are ministering together with the Chinese congregations doing children's ministry, there's slightly different registration procedures. So please do note the different procedures. And as parents, we thank you for joining with us in ministering to your kids. The ministry, the children's ministry comes alongside parents. As parents are the chief disciple makers of their children, we as the church and the brothers and sisters come together to help help parents to become great disciple makers of their children. So here for junior worship as well as during the Sunday school hour, there's slightly different enrollment times, so please take note of that. Also, as many of you know, we have Awana on Friday evenings here at BCEC, and it's open to all. And basically, it's for children. There's through the ages there, 3 to 8, in the basement, and there's a registration and things, so there you can call or contact Ida, who many of you may know from Chinatown way back when. She went to Hong Kong, and after a decade, has returned. And so now she's among us, and so if you see her, please say hello. If you have friends to bring, it's a great, if you've not been part of Awana, it's basically, think of a Christian version of like Boy Scouts or something like that, where it's very activity oriented and things like that, where you have different stations. There are 3 stations, a teaching station, a game station, a craft station, and a refreshment, and you kind of rotate in that depending on your age grouping. So it's like that. So it's a real great time for our kids to learn about God and also to introduce other kids to Christ. Also, our regularly scheduled ministries, youth program, our children's programs, and our English language learning programs will start again in the fall. So the other programs will continue, and TIOB will resume next week. And again, if you like prayer, please do join us. And join me. Just a quick announcement. Also, in your program, you'll see, we'd love for you to look over the financials of the church. And if you feel led, perhaps you've been gone most of the summer, and so we'd like to catch up on your giving, please consider that as you pray about that. Also, on the reverse side is your church calendar. If you want to start advanced planning, we are making a real solid date, we believe, in VBS this year, so people can start planning early. So we will not be changing that date this year. Things like that. So please do look at the church calendar also. So thank you all for joining us today. Also, in your inside flap, there are small groups. Most of them are taking a summer hiatus, but they'll be running in the fall. So if you'd like to be a part of a ministry or a community here, we'd like to encourage you to be a part of small group ministry as well as regular Sunday school. We'll resume in a couple of weeks. All the programs and things are here in your bulletin. Because we're such as Sam mentioned, a diverse church with 7 congregations, 3 languages, 2 campuses, and maybe 2.5 campuses, depending on how you cut it. There's lots going on. And so this past week, for instance, Vacation Bible School is in Chinatown with 100 kids there, as well as the local evangelism team in Cantonese and Mandarin. VBS was using the Chinatown campus in the day, and then the local evangelism team was using Chinatown in the evenings. And so there's a lot of activities, lots of outreach going on in Chinatown this week, but we did ours a few weeks back. So take a look, and also our website, of course, has all this information. Let's ride. We're down in junior worship this morning, and we watched The Lord of the Beam. If you don't know, I've been watching, you know, the Lord of the Rings, you know, trilogies, and now the prequels to all that. Lord of the Bean is about gifts and using the gifts that God has given to you for His kingdom purposes. And so it's a wonderful little cartoon, you know, sort of parody of the Lord of the Rings. Here, I'd like to close with this idea. Sam reminded us in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter about chapter 4, about unity, diversity, and maturity. It's also echoed, a precursor in Ephesians chapter 2 and following. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one will boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's by grace that we have been saved for the very workings of God. We don't work for salvation. We work because of salvation and great love that God has given to us. It overflows to others on His behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've called us to be one, that we're unified in Christ, and we want to grow in that unity. But we also thank You that You've made us diverse, that You've given us many different gifts, and we want to use that for Your kingdom and for Your glory, so that we would all mature into Christ-likeness. We thank You that we are this workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the work that You have predestined for each and every one of us, and all of us together. And so we thank You for that reality. Help us, oh God, to experience that more and more, individually and together as a family of Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, the power and the presence of the Spirit of God be with each and every one of us as we go from here. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Greet your neighbor and tell them it's great to be unified and diversified. I don't know.